We all love a good Sunday session.
Frothy time!
Oh. And this Sunday session comes to you.
Oh, how good!
This is the Rush Hour Sunday session.
The best of JB and Billy
on Triple M.
Fat, the gold is flowing for Australia and it's flowing on today's Sunday session. Gold! Oh, too right, Jimmy boy. We've been on the top step of the dais.
Dais even, yet.
Thank you. Podium for years, Jim. Today we'll chat to Aussie T20 and One Day International captain Aaron Finch. Plus, I've got some liquid gold. Gold. Rab? Gold! Your idiot song is gold. Spandau Ballet. Gold! Speaking of them, Jim, next I want to hear your story about getting into a wrestling match with their drummer. So, you know the audio we play when we win a gold at the Olympics?
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's Spandau Ballet. That's where that song originated, right. Of course. A famous band from the UK in the late 80s, early 90s, mainly 80s. Now, excuse me. I'm only going to be able to tell this story if you'll excuse the names that are about to be dropped.
Oh,
all right.
Because you're name dropping.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So 1989, I'm playing Lancashire League cricket up the top.
Right.
The Australian team's there playing in that famous Ashes series when we beat England after we were meant to be the worst team ever to leave
to the shores. Land on the shores, yep.
And what people don't realise is a 39-year-old Dennis Keith Lilly was playing county cricket for North Ants.
He wasn't.
Had a season for North Ants at 39. Anyway, so I'm up there. And I suddenly, and you can imagine, I'm stuck in a tiny little joint in Nelson up in the Lancashire
League. How far away?
Oh, that's a good hour and a half from North Ants. Anyway, suddenly I get a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I open up the door, and there's a very well-dressed postal courier-looking person with a very snazzy envelope.
Ooh.
And thank you. No idea how you even knew I was there. I open it up, and it says, "You are invited to Dennis Lilly's surprise 40th birthday."
Ooh, nice.
Now, the reason, of course, as you know, that I know him very
family
well is
friends,
because his dad and he and my dad are close to best mates. And so I've known him my whole life. Anyway, so I'm like, all right, that's fantastic. So I'm thinking surprise 40th.
Yeah.
Anyway, about 25 minutes later, the phone rings, and it is the great man going, "You're coming to my party?"
Oh.
I've just received this thing. It said surprise birthday party. He goes, "No, the surprise is that I've got to 40 because he lived nice and hard.
Yes, he did.
Of course, but he said, "Nah, it's not a surprise. It's at Lammy's joint." Of course, Alan Lamb played for North Ants.
I think with Lammy's down in Geelong.
Same name, but different. Same, but different. Anyway, so I'm like, yeah, bloody oath, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it gets to the day. I get my ass down to North Ants. And I go to this party, and it's a who's who.
Ooh.
And I'm the only other person I knew there beside the great man was Justin Langer, who was playing in the Surrey Championship somewhere. So the two of us are there. Otherwise, we don't know anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, as you do when I was about 22 and JL was about 18, we had a good night.
Of course. Few froths.
Come from a long way away.
Yeah. Camped the night there somewhere.
That's it. So when the end of the night came, there weren't many of us left.
Well, good.
But I was one.
Aussies left.
Langer was another one.
Yeah.
Alan Lamb, because it's his house, so he had no option to go anywhere. Dennis Lilly and this other bloke.
Ooh.
Anyway, so as you know, with idiot Australians, when it gets to 3 a.m, whatever it was, and we'd had a long go at it, the wrestling started.
Oh, no.
And Bill.
Why do we do that?
I don't know. Yeah. And of course, you got DK, who that stage is still playing as a big bastard.
40.
So he's got Lammy in a headlock.
Legger.
Yep. So, and there they landed on top of JL, who's an angry little bastard.
Oh, he's Taekwondo.
So he's starting to throw on from underneath.
And what are you doing?
I'm standing there minding my own business going, how juvenile is this? How would you bloody end up, wrestling? Anyway, suddenly this other bloke who's standing there. He grabs me by the throat.
Oh, no.
And he's got me in a headlock and he's starting to throw me to the ground. I'm thinking, I'm not copping this.
And don't know who you are.
Don't know who he is. And I'm not copping it.
No.
So I somehow grab hold of him and I land on top of him. This is in Alan Lamb's lounge room. So I've landed on top of this bloke.
Yep.
And then somehow the three of them have all landed on top of me.
Oh, no.
So she's pile on. And this bloke's got this real high pitched little pommy voice. He starts screaming that he can't breathe and we got to get up. Anyway, I'm not giving a stuff about him. I'm trying to get Langer with a couple of kidney jobs because he couldn't tell me whether it was me or not. So I'm trying to belt him. Anyway, this bloke's voice is getting louder and louder.
Oh, no.
thinking, actually, we probably need to get off this.
Get off it, yeah.
Five blokes on top of him. Anyway, we get up, and he'd gone a little pink.
Sucked in your bum.
Gone a little pink. Anyway, he's sitting down and quietly sort of gathering himself.
Yeah.
And I said to the champ, I said, who is that bloke?
Who is
this bloke who's just bloody ended up on the bottom of a pylon. Oh, he goes, didn't you meet him before? I said, no, I don't know what
he grabbed me now.
He goes, his name's John Keeble. He's the drummer from Spandau Ballet.
No, the drummer.
The drummer.
And he got you in a headlock.
This is him.
This is drumming.
Tiny little bastard.
And he got you in a headlock.
He got me in a headlock, so I ended up having to spin him. And then they all landed on me. And poor old Keebs, he ended up at the bottom.
And nearly died.
And his voice got very high, Bill.
Well, the sound anyway, of that, he
so
should have.
Every time we play Gold.
Gold. You're, that
I think of this. Every time we play that, I think that he was on top, on the bottom of a sandwich that had three unbelievably good cricketers.
And a drummer.
And me.
And the little drummer boy.
It's a rush hour.
Gold, my friend.
Golden Cocker.
All right. How this works is we interview a while back an Olympic athlete. They then go on and win gold.
That's it.
We replay a bit of the interview to claim her as ours.
And we were going to play it last week. And we thought she was going to win gold in the K1 gym, yes. And just a bronze.
No bronze, yeah. So we held it.
But then, of course, this week in the women's C1, she won gold.
That's it.
Now, you were born in France, were you, Jess?
Yes, I was. I was born in Marseille. Have you been there before?
Well, funny you should say that, because I've got a special theme song for you for the Olympics.
Okay.
There we go. Take me away to Marseille.
You ever heard that before, Jess?
No, I hadn't heard that one. I thought you were going to play like Fox on the Run or something.
Oh, yeah. With
well,
the
this Foxy. Is Triple M, Jess, so we're a hard rock station. So we've gone with Doc Neeson and the Angels. So that's for you to just sweep you into Tokyo, of course.
What did you do in lockdown? Because we saw the tennis players, they played tennis in their rooms and triathletes were running around the house. What do you do if you're a canoeist?
Well, if you've got a swimming pool, you can jump in the pool and do a couple of turns, but there's only so much you can do with a 3.5-metre kayak in a, 7-metre pool. But, yeah, I did. I got creative at home as well and just sort of did a lot of home gym workouts and used my kayak, which weighs 9 kilos, as a weight for pull-ups and things like that. So, yeah, it was kind of fun maybe for the first week to just get creative and then we were like, okay. I'm sick of the TikTok challenges. Let's get to work.
Do you have to do seated row ever? Because for me, that is the single worst thing you can do in a gym.
The rowing machine.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like the seated row weighted machine or like rowing?
Rowing thing. It's a nightmare, Jess.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
Thank God.
We go forwards, though. The rowers go backwards and they do that ergo. But I'm not a fan of the ergo. We use a kayak version of the ergo and... Yeah, it's not my favourite thing. I did a little bit of that in lockdown as well.
No. Nightmare. It's horrific, Bill. And your head starts to get all light.
I know.
You feel like you're going to pass out.
No, you can't breathe. I had a heart attack. I had to get off.
Did you have a heart attack?
You know where the sign says if you feel dizzy?
Yep.
I felt dizzy, so I got off. Hey, Jess, I got something for
you. It sounds like you work hard.
No, Bill.
I don't. No. I'm
fat as a fool. Bill?
Actually, what do you weigh, Jess?
60 and 62 kilos.
Well, I'm double you.
Okay.
But I'm bilingual, just like you, by the way.
What's your second language?
French, like you.
Oh.
Well, go on.
Well, we could do this whole segment in French if you like.
Salut, Jess, J. Apple, Billy. Any idea what that is?
Well, I mean, you said, hello, Jess. My name's Billy, but, was it perfect? Work on the accent.
We...
Thank you, Bill.
And the chomps are lessee.
Oh, my God. Hey, Jess, good luck. We're not going to hold you up any longer, but it would be one of the great stories. You've already had an extraordinary career, as we heard at the top, but a silver and a bronze. We're adding gold in Tokyo for you. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
What a star.
Yeah.
What a star.
To put up with that interview.
Oh, no, to put up with you for a start. But the way she carried herself through that whole campaign was just magnificent. She had a disappointment. Yeah. I mean, not that bronze is disappointing, but for the best in the world champion coming into that event and the fastest qualifier. But she handled that with beautiful grace and class and then comes back and wins the gold and was superb in the way she handled that too. So
on,
love her.
But all the girls in the pool,
Yep.
grace and class.
Agreed. They've made us proud. The women athletes have been superb.
Down to earth. Good on you, girls. Yep. Fully deserved.
I love it.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. Pouring out the gold from JB and Billy on Triple M. In the last year, nobody's made more runs in T20s and ODIs for Australia than this man.
Another six for the captain. Three sixes in a row for Finch.
And while a knee injury has kept him out of our T20 series against Bangladesh, he still has the time to talk to us. Please welcome Aaron Finch.
I love this man, of course. Finches. Averages over 41, if you don't mind, in one-day international cricket for Australia. So that takes some doing, especially when you're exposed to the brand-new Conker.
Cherry.
And then does a magnificent job in the T20s too. Finchie, welcome to you.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Where do we find you, Finches? Because you're in quarantine somewhere.
Yeah, I'm in quarantine in Melbourne, mate. Right. I flew in. I've currently got 7 days, 10 hours and 1 minute to go until I'm out.
Jesus.
How many times have you been in quarantine?
This is my third full quarantine, which wears you down a little bit, but that's a part of the job. You know what you're in for when you sign up to it. To go over to West Indies and play a series over there, we knew what we're in for, so... It's just a part and parcel of the job, mate.
Must be hard, though, with, you know, families and stuff. All the players must find it tough.
Pregnant wife?
Yeah, it has been tough with Amy at home. She's 35 weeks pregnant now, so not long to go until my life's definitely going to change. I can't just bludge about on the couch and do nothing anymore. So that's going to be a change, no doubt. But, yeah, it does make it tough, to be honest, on guys, especially with young families. I know the time that goes into... to being away, and some guys get really used to their families travelling with them as well. So to have that taken away over the last 18 months, plus the quarantine on the back of it, some restrictions that are in place before you leave the tour and stuff like that, it's making it really difficult. And you can see around the world, some guys are pulling out of various series just to make sure that they're looking after their own mental wellbeing.
Speaking of that, what were the conditions like in the West Indies? They were actually pretty good, the West Indies. I see the pitch wasn't great.
Yeah, the wicket in the one-day internationals deteriorated quite a bit and turned out to be a big turner. We thought that the T20 wickets would play really similar to that, to be honest, in St. Lucia. We turned up and there was not a huge amount of grass anywhere on the strips that we were meant to be playing on. And they held together really well. They would flood them at night, roll them, and were good to go. And they played really well. I think the scores got better and better as the series went on.
Matty Wade, of course, is a skipper. Very good bowling lineup when you have a look at it. But our batting lineup, very young, isn't it? Inexperienced.
Yeah, in international cricket it is, Bill. I think when you've got guys that are on their second or third tour, a few of them on their first tour, just trying to get up to speed of international cricket, it is a big jump from domestic cricket. But also having not played for quite a while, the IPL was cut short for a few of them guys. And the domestic season finished in March. So that's been a little bit of a layoff. So just to get back up to speed can take a bit of time. And I think the way that the guys adapted towards the back end of that one-day series and to get over the line on a really difficult wicket against a pretty experienced West Indies side showed that the guys are improving all the time, and that's great signs.
T20 World Cup coming up, of course, October 17. It starts. I see the Aussies ranked seventh.
Yeah.
We put our best team out there, Finchie. We're much better than seventh.
Yeah, I didn't realise we were ranked that low. We were number one about 12 months ago, I think. So, I think just with the amount of, the lack of international T20 cricket that's been played in its entirety, I think lends itself to some volatile rankings, doesn't it? So, I think that we're going there confident, although we've got a few guys that haven't partaken in these last two series. There's a lot of experience there, and I think that can hold you in really good stead in a world tournament.
Is Mitch Marsh, hard to say that.
Not really.
Is he taking the next step? You say it. How do you say it, Finchie?
Mitch Marsh.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, not
Has he taken the next step, Mitch Marsh?
Well, it seems that way, doesn't it? I think getting the opportunity at number three suits his game. When you're a middle order player, especially growing up in the West, where you don't traditionally, as a young kid, you don't traditionally face a huge amount of spin. So the fact that batting at number five, which is his general position, you face a lot of spin when you first come in. Yeah, so we just thought, give him the opportunity against the quicks at the top of the order. And the intent that he's had, the impact that he's had on the game in his first five or six balls has been huge. So that's been great from from him. His bowling was outstanding. And he's the ultimate team man. He's one bloke that everyone genuinely wants to do unbelievably well whenever he plays.
Hey, good luck. You've got another week to go. We feel for you. Bloody hell. Yeah. I can't imagine what that must be like. But the baby arriving soon, of course, we wish you. And, of course, your beautiful better half who worked here for a long time, Ames.
Yeah.
With all of that.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
The Rush Hour Sunday Session. Back soon with more from JB and Billy.
Oh, and by the way, it's your round.
Now, I'll tell you what, we're very lucky on this show to have Matty Haywood in the booth. He is a genius. Mm-hmm. He's also got a good eye for Bill.
No, he hasn't.
Cocking it up.
Has he? It's not hard, Jim.
No. He just finds them, puts them aside, and he either puts them into an idiot file, which goes for about 10 minutes, or every now and then he blends them into a song.
Oh, and who sings this?
Because of Spandau Ballet's dominance of this last fortnight.
And your mate.
My mate, Johnny Keeble. I think it was Johnny. Anyway, Keeble. Matt Keeble, what was his bloody name, the
Angus,
drummer? Anyway,
Angus.
We've got this as the Olympic Idiot song.
Cars? I've never seen so many cars.
What, from?
Burke Street. So I said to the cabbie, I said, hey, champ, what's going on here? He said, Spandau Ballet.
Spandau. Look, it's left me standing so tall. You've never heard of John Keeble before,
have
you?
No, I've never heard of Spandau Ballet.
Spandau Ballet.
Gold!
Spandau Ballet?
Oh, but Spandau.
And Matt Horton got a bronze.
Mac
Hawkins.
Yes, Mac Hawkins.
Gold! Tonight on the track and the field.
Track and the field.
Well, it is the track and the field. Always And guess who he's racing against? A young bloke from Germany, Jim, and Robert Farkin, Jim. Jim.
Come on, Bill.
That's not... I've got...
Bill.
What's his name, Jim?
I don't know whether that's his name.
Jim! His name...
All right, let me spell it for you.
All right.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert, yeah.
F-A-R...
Yeah.
K-E-N.
That's Farkin to me. But he didn't make the final,
didn't he?
You know why?
Why?
He's parking slow.
Oh, no.
Gold. We love Paddy Mills because he's a Melburnian.
No, he's not.
Not from Melbourne even.
From Canberra.
Gold! I'm not sure what's happening with Bill.
It is Olympic itis.
As I said, the Olympics bring the worst out in him.
Oh, because I am Olympics out.
The worst is bad. Because when you consider just the standard version's real crap.
Are we on?
The worst is real bad.
And the good is bloody
good. Non-existent.
Is good. Good, my friend. Good. It is gold.
Is Bill?
Is good.
Is good.
Is Bill? Is shit.
At Triple M, we recommend you Sunday Session responsibly,
or you'll end up like Billy.
And it was
the Rush Hour Sunday Session on Triple M.
I feel good.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday Session.
Our next guest is a Bulldogs Premiership player.
Unguarded goal square, bouncing ball. Can you believe it? Condy's in the park.
And two-time best and fairest winner at the Tigers.
Finishes it off, superb from Conti, and the Tigers are on the board.
Please welcome AFLW superstar Monique Conti.
Great to have you in. Now, there's so much to talk to you about, but I'm going to start with basketball, which I know is something you were brilliant at, and now you're, of course, concentrating on footy. But the Olympic basketball, have you been glued to it, and what have you made of it?
Yes, I have. I've been watching... all the Opals games and the Boomers. It's always good to flick it on the telly.
You could have been there with the Opals,
exactly,
couldn't you?
Right.
I don't know.
You went to World Championships when you're under 17s, under 19s, and who signed you up here? The Melbourne Boomers?
Boomers and Southside Flyers.
Signed you up for a 4-year deal. So
yeah, yeah.
You must have been a good player, Mon. And then, of course, you were playing both. How did that go? How did training and all that? Because you were playing AFLW and you're playing for, high-end basketball.
It was a bit of a struggle. It was obviously a first for a WNBL team, like having an AFLW player. So did that for 4 years. I just had to miss out on AFLW preseason every year. So that was a bit tough, like going into the season with like 1 week preseason. But yeah, at the end of the day, I just had to learn to juggle it and just make sure I kept my communication up.
Now, yeah. Mon, tell us about Boob Armor. You're an ambassador for the Australian design product. Tell us how it works.
So Boob Armor, it's a sort of a protection for your breasts. So obviously when you're playing any sort of sport, there's a lot of impact on the breasts and you get a ball to the breast, you can get bumped and everything like that. So the Boob Armor protects that. And I guess you don't realize the amount of impact like sport has on your breasts and how much contact you get. And you can get some serious injuries through playing sports. So Boob Armor like ensures that protection. And, yeah, it's there for that extra padding.
Hmm. Now, I know you would know this already, Mon, but I was an unbelievably good cricketer. And when I look at that, it's like a big protector.
A box.
Yeah, like the box that we used to have to wear. And you get used to wearing them within a second and you never even think about it.
Oh, so it's plastic, exactly.
Yeah, it's about 2 millimetres thick. They weigh like 18 grams each, so very, very light but very solid at the same time. So, you know, I've personally worn them. And they're really good. It's you don't really feel any contact when you get some in the breast. So yeah, they're really good, and therefore, honestly, for all different sports.
How much damage can you do to your boob?
Some pretty serious damage. I think at the time, like you don't realize, but once you get older, that's when you realize like how much damage
you can
do.
The tissue and all that, is it?
Yeah, everything.
I didn't realize that, Jim. To be honest,
My partner's beautiful daughter Charlotte plays in the under 14s.
She was good on the weekend.
It's unbelievable. Mm. And the thing, when I go down and watch her, there are thousands. There's way more girls playing than the boys. Like, it's nuts at
juniors.
Juniors, they're everywhere, and it's superb. Yeah. So, what age would you need to start considering wearing boob armor?
Honestly, I just think when, you know, you start to develop and you start to get, some boobs, I think that's probably the perfect time. They come in all different sizes. You just slide them in any sort of sports bra and just keep them there and they stay intact. So, which that's really good. I honestly think it's not really a talking point for young girls. No. They don't really want to come out and say they have a male football coach or a basketball coach. They don't want to really say, oh, I got hit in the boob. You know, it's, they don't seem to talk about it. So I think with boob armor, it's a good way to, you know, get girls confident about bringing the conversation up. And, yeah, just hopefully they gain some confidence in talking about it.
Get online, boobarmor.com.au, and get stuck into what is clearly an amazing product and very important, Bill, for young ladies playing amazing game. Mon, congratulations on everything you've been doing, by the way.
Thank you.
What are you doing superstar? Now? What are you going to do today?
Currently, well, I'm playing NBL 1, so I'm in basketball season. So finals are soon with the Melbourne Tigers. And then once that's done, straight into preseason. But with my days, I just do gym and then go to training.
How's the love life? All right?
Yeah, love life's good. Yeah.
I would suggest most probably none of your business.
Well, Mon can tell me if she wants to.
Sports smart, sports power is where you can get the boob armor. So check that out. Mm. Mon, great catching up with you. Thanks for dropping in.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
On your cont.
A 3-month hamstring injury has stopped our next guest from doing what he loves most, sitting on people's heads.
Wants to go to Green. Massive climb.
But now he's back and ready to fly over the Hawks on Sunday.
Drops it low. Jeremy Howe with an unbelievable grab.
Please welcome Jeremy Howe.
Back. Nice to speak to you, Jezza.
Thanks, lads. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, well done, Jeremy, and great to be back, I reckon, 3 months out. But then you come back and you got a new coach.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but Bang's been great for us in the interim. But, it's just nice to be back playing with the boys again.
24 disposals, Jim, 10 marks. Did you try and take any hangers?
No, I didn't. Oh. I didn't. Thankfully, we didn't have to do too much in the air. The boys up the ground kind of looked after us pretty well, so nice game to come and slot back into because the guys played really well and us defenders didn't have to do a hell of a lot.
And how's Bucks? Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, so I actually caught up with him. So we went out for a feed. And, it was great to just chat to him and see how he's going. And yeah, he seems pretty settled and
good.
A bit distance away from footy, which is great for him. And he's been watching us from afar and he's not getting too heavily involved, which is probably good for him to sit back and relax for once.
Good. And how's the club feel without Eddie, for a start, and Nathan Buckley? Because they're both, you know, obviously been the joint for 20-plus years and had huge presence. How does it feel around just the walls of the joint?
Oh, it's certainly different, no doubt. They're probably two that you can't exactly just easily replace, that's for sure. They're pretty big personalities and had a lot of influence at the club for a long period of time. And to Robert's credit, he's been great since he's kind of come in, thrown a few different things at us. But, yeah, it's a different feel, no doubt. But with you guys coming in and replacing, it becomes a new energy, a bit of a different feel. And I feel like the guys seem to be enjoying it as well.
Round 21, Hawthorn take on Collingwood this Sunday. And they tell me, I heard on the grapevine, that you might be captain this week.
Yeah, you must have some pretty good sources
good
there,
source
Bill.
I have.
Look, it's good. And, yeah, the captaincy thing was well said last week that we're going to share the load between the vice-captains while Pendles was out. And, yeah, it's my opportunity this week.
So you've got a big rev up. Will you give them a big pump up before they run out or out in the ground? You get them all in together?
Well, you know what? It's definitely something that you think about. You just don't want to stuff it up. So Sidey kept it pretty brief and was pretty pointed last week, so I'll probably go down the same avenue as that, I reckon.
We just spoke to Aaron Finch. His wife's pregnant, and I see here your wife's pregnant. So lockdown's been okay.
Yeah, so we're actually Carly is due in 2 weeks. So.
Ooh. What happens there now? What happens there, Jezza? In 2 weeks' time, I don't know who you play, but if it's around match day, what happens?
Yeah, well, that's it up for discussion, Bill.
Right.
Nah, look, if the season was really tight, I still think I don't want to put my feet in the water, but I was like, they're well and truly going to be in there. I think we've had a discussion, and I'd well and truly be with Carly. So,
we've had this discussion with Jezza before here in the studio,
have we?
There's a reason why Carly is pregnant.
Why is that? Jim?
Needed to hang on to her. He's way too good for Jezza.
I'm just looking.
It's unbelievable the difference.
I reckon she went to the footy one day. She had no idea, and Jezza just went for hanger after hanger and finally got one. She goes, he's not bad.
He goes, all right.
He's all right.
That could be the only way that happened, Jez.
Yeah, true. Yeah, well, I think that's just a general feel it goes. We're all punching above our weight class. But,
No, we all are, but you are more than anyone else is the point we're making. All right, so, mate, good luck, of course. No one likes spending the bloody time on the sidelines you have. So
down in Tassie, Jim, you'll catch up with the family.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're all
family. A bit of a bus coming up, but the old man won't be because he's in lockdown. So, cheers, Queensland.
what was that little crispy you went with?
Oh, well, they're all family, Jim. They all gather around and they're all friendly down there, Jim.
Nice drive-by.
The howls.
Listen to that,
Howie.
The howls and everything else, Jim. They're all very close.
That's a joke from 30 years ago that Bill's just dusted off.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. You know it's time to call it when your mate thinks he's a comedian.
Very, very funny.
This is Billy's joke on the Rush Hour Sunday session.
A wife calls her husband, Jim, and says, "Be careful, darling. Driving home tonight, some complete moron is driving down the wrong side of the freeway." Mm. The husband replies, "There's just not one. There's bloody hundreds of them."
Oh, no.
That's him, bro.
We won't get to the end of the year.
No.
Not with this crap.
Get to the end of the season.
But people, I don't give a stuff what you think or you think because I get good feedback.
No, you don't.
Bottoms up. That was the Rush Hour Sunday session. And if you still want more, catch the boys live or on demand on the Listener app. I feel good.